is Brother Dave Pirtle. His exhortation title is Working Out Your Own Salvation. So let's turn to Philippians 2nd chapter, which we will read. Working out your own salvation. Philippians 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if there any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, as soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministereth to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that he had heard that he had been sick. Ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy upon him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Well, please direct our attention to our brother Dave, working out our own salvation.
most difficult part of the night, getting hooked up. Good evening, brothers and sisters and students of the Bible. Look forward to spending some time with you this evening and picking up really where Brother Bill and the reading has provided us the overview for our theme for the weekend. Our emphasis tonight will be on the part first of Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, and working out your salvation. And I think it's very key early on to say that the knowledge of the Word of God is very powerful. And hopefully throughout our discussion tonight, we maybe give many examples that are provided to us as far as guidance throughout the Scripture. But before we talk about the specific details, as a reminder, the background for the Philippians, Paul was to believe have written these words while he was yet in prison in Rome. In verse 1, we read in part that the servants of Jesus Christ to all the saints in Christ Jesus. And as a reminder, the people to whom he was speaking were of the town of Philippi, which was named after Philip of Macedon, which was the father of Alexander the Great. And it was a military city, a military colony, actually, and they were proud to call themselves Romans. And that city was located as far as the travels of Paul on his second missionary journey in about AD 50, where it connected the northern part of Asia into the European continent. And therefore, he's speaking for the first time to those in that particular part of the world. Verse 8 of chapter 1 of Philippians says, "For God is my record or witness, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels or the affliction of Christ, Jesus Christ." I'd like to now restate the verse we're going to focus on. "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now the much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling." Now, this first word, "wherefore," and I've actually commented on this previously, we have, in most cases, this word appears better stated, "therefore." Young's uses the term "so that." Strong's 1352 says, "on which account, therefore." The NIV uses "therefore in my presence, but in my absence much more," or "in times past." In the first chapter, leading up to chapter 2, verse 27. And when I comment about the "therefore," it's because it's predicated on words earlier than this chapter in which we're focusing on this evening. In chapter 1, verse 27, "only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, and whether I come and see you or else be present, absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." So we're given this exhortation early on about becoming steadfast in doing one thing, and that is striving, making an effort to obtain something together. Paul urges them to let their manner of life, how they and how we should, be worthy or merit recognition of the gospel of Christ, the basis of our working out our salvation. continuing on in chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 2, fulfill ye my joy, that you may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Chapter 2 leads us to the theme for the weekend. Paul continues on with who Jesus is, what he accomplished by dying on the cross. Never letting ourselves to esteem ourselves or consider ourselves to be better than anyone else, especially within the ecclesia. We are to be of the same mind as Christ. Christ was humble. He emptied himself, submitting only to the will of his Father, a servant unto righteousness, obedient to death upon the cross. Not conceited, not selfish, but humble. And when we think about the big picture in the world that we live today, it's quite the opposite attitude, as the most lauded behavior of today is all self-serving. It's all about me. All the more reason we would need to be united in our thoughts and in our actions. As brothers and sisters and students of the Bible, we sometimes believe that we live in a world in which we have no influence, no longer can contribute to the conversation, if you would, as whole, because it's so diverse from what we believe. However, I believe that if we are united in our commitment to do Yahweh's will, that can be a very, very powerful thing, individually and collectively. Let me explain words of encouragement that we may take for granted. For example, the world population today is about 7.5 billion people. Of that population, about 33% are Christians, 24% Islam, 16% are non-religious, 15% are of Hinduism, and 12% are all others, whatever that might be. The U.S. population, by comparison, is 328 million and counting. Of that population, 87%, about 9 out of 10 people, actually own a Bible. And only 23% of the people that own a Bible have read it in its entirety at least once. 53% have read it very little. 39% of all men have never read it. 31% of all women have never read it. If we base it on that stats alone, and we talk about working together on our salvation, 77% of our population is more knowledgeable than those around the world on a daily basis from us doing our own readings each day. And we will comment later about adapting that knowledge into our conversation. Let's turn to Psalms 119, a part of our daily readings this past week. And read verses 97 through 104. It gives us a basis for what we're challenged to do. The psalmist says, "Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Though through my commandment thou hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me." And we were talking about this percentage of knowledge and what we have that we forget or assume that it doesn't help us, but in reality, we are much not more knowledgeable about the scriptures if we're applying our daily reading than the majority of the people around us. So we shouldn't feel defensive getting to share the truth in the direction. "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for the testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Though thy precepts I understand, I get understanding, and therefore I hate every false way. Again, talking about doing our daily readings, and we're talking about working on our salvation. We're talking about positioning our thoughts and our mind in a way that is life-giving. The Greek word for workout, as expressed in the Dialog on page 666, is actually work you out. It means to continually work and to bring something to completion or to fruition. Let's go back to Philippians, chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurs and disputings. We should be actively pursuing obedience, as it's been earlier stated, as an attitude of pursuing our goal with fear of offending Yahweh, but by our very obedience with awe and respect for him. Paul, in his remarks to Romans, in some familiar words, let's turn to Romans chapter 12 and just read the first two verses. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The theme here is that many of the verses that we're touching on overlap, but it shows the importance of staying focused. A living sacrifice, holy acceptable, is our reasonable service. Not conforming to this world, as it is all surrounding us with temptations, but the changing our minds, which we hope to do over this weekend, by testing ourselves, that we may discern the will of Yahweh. We work out our salvation by going to the source, the Word of God, where we can renew our hearts and our minds. Paul is saying to bring your salvation to complete fulfillment in our lives, it's by how we live, how we work it out. Again, we referred back to the first chapter in Philippians, that verse 27 again, was focusing on let not your conversation be as it becometh the gospel. And that's the key of what we should be focusing on. And that's sometimes difficult during the day when you're doing your daily activities. Ephesians 4, again, familiar verses to us. Verses 1 through 3, we read, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, which Paul surely was, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called. Another example about working out our salvation is the vocation that we have chosen with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another under love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond and peace, in the bond of peace. So we are commanded here again to walk in a manner which we have called. We know that Paul has said that we have all sinned, but it's through God's mercy and his forgiveness and grace that we are saved. If we look at the verse that we read again in Colossians 12, Colossians 2, verse 12, that same word, Greek word, appears in Corinthians. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians and chapter 7, verse 15. 2 Corinthians. And his inward affection is more abundant toward you, whilst he remembers the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. We are to walk in a manner which we are called, and we know, like Paul has said, we all have sinned. In this Greek word, we have the word trembling reappearing. In Corinthians, Paul is referring to Titus, as we were just heard in our reading, being encouraged by his reception with humility and respect for his position as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. While we're still in Corinthians, let's turn back to the first book of Corinthians, this time chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 3. Again, Paul commenting, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." And so this word of trembling reappears as a theme that Paul has used as part of his commentary. The important thing is that carnal minds hinder growth of our spiritual minds. So if we are not focused on the right, what's important, what's life-giving, if we're not working towards our salvation and allow the outside world and those other things that are important to us to come in, they hinder our growth. Just a thought, but an example of today's world we live in, we know that the internet can swamp our minds with all types of subject matter, truthful and untruthful. And many of it is just memories, commentaries that are useless. We do know, though, that in Psalms 94:11, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, and they are all vanity. So we have to remember that and caution ourselves when we seek information from that source. We know that we cannot earn our salvation like a paycheck. Hours of work in Yahweh's vineyard will not guarantee salvation. It's only through Yahweh's grace and mercy that we may be counted as a bride of Christ. Now, so far we've been discussing working out your salvation, as if I was just speaking to you as individuals. However, our readings are based on Paul speaking to the people, the ecclesia, as a group. And so too, everything we're speaking about, while it's important to take it in personally, it's selectively as an ecclesia that we should be working out our salvation together. We are challenged, just like the Philippians, to work together in being in one mind and humbly submitting one to another. And even amongst ourselves, sometimes that is difficult. But in today's world, it's even more difficult outside our small group. Let us turn to Ephesians, this time chapter 5. Verses 1 and 2. Again, these are repetitious thoughts, but I think it's important to restate them. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for sweet smelling savor." And in verses 19 through 21, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all the things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting yourselves one to another and the fear of God. In Paul's absence, the Philippians were being transformed from inside to out, from their inward heart to their outward actions. God would work with them and change their manner of life in Paul's absence, and he prayed, for he loved them dearly. We actually have been discussing our choices we make in our lives. If we work out physical fitness, we do so to improve our strength and our endurance. If we work out our spiritual fitness, is to improve daily in our studies and our understanding, and to help shine the light of truth in a world of darkness. It will make you wise unto salvation. Now, the word workout in English is to resolve a difference, or working together. Greek translated is not in my presence only, how much the more, in my absence of yourselves. Salvation, work you out. Salvation, our deliverance from sin and its consequences through faith, our baptism in Christ and his death and reconciliation and Yahweh's mercy. We have a chance. We pray for that chance to be part of that kingdom. Now, we earlier spoke of the blessing of what we have in understanding the Word of God, and we get that in part through daily readings, through weekends like this, Bible schools, and it brings confidence to us. That understanding is powerful, especially in a confused world in which we all live. We can, in effect, hide our light if we spend much of our time challenging each other. Working on our salvation together includes encouraging and working with others outside our ecclesia, for that's where the new seeds are planted. Our confidence in the Word can be shared if we know our audience. And what do I mean by that? Our audience are the friends that we interact with, our family, those at school, neighbors, coworkers, associates. They could all be one and the same person. But before I say anything else, I want to ask by a show of hands, and that is, what do you think is more effective in sharing the truth? First one is the internet. How many think that that's the most effective way to share the truth? How about one-on-one communication? Well, I believe they can complement each other, but I certainly agree with you that one-on-one communication is one of the strongest things each of us has as we leave from a get-together and a gathering. Now, I'm going to ask you a couple other questions. And it's not to embarrass, but it's to show changing of times. How many here have ever delivered mailbox flyers in your neighborhood or some other place for a lecture or a Bible study? Just raise your hand if you've done that. Okay. How many have knocked on a door and given a flyer out about a lecture? How many have given a public lecture? How many have advertised on the internet for a Bible study or a public lecture? I realize that we have changing times and there's less opportunity in an unsafe world that we live in. But I get concerned sometimes of myself for what I read in Matthew 5:11. It said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil things against you falsely for my name's sake." I don't feel that I've ever been persecuted. And I don't know that there's anyone here that has felt that way either. My challenge is to myself, and I share that with you, is I think as a group we probably need to get into a discomfort area, because what we said, and I saw a show of hands and it dwindled as we went through, of those that have gone door to door, those who have given lectures, those who have participated and given out flyers. And the answer to that I hear so often is, We've got the internet that can do that for us. Yet, as a group, we just said, we didn't think that was very effective. That's a challenge for me, and I challenge all of you that as working together, based on what we know, 77% of the world does not have the understanding that we have today. So I think it's important that we be, as it says in Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes once in darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now, returning to what I said earlier about knowing your audience, well, there are different subjects for discussion depending on the audience. And I'm just going to try to highlight one example for myself, not patting myself on the back, but saying it's sometimes very difficult to think of how am I ever going to be able to communicate with my neighbor and talk about what's important if I'm going to work out my salvation and share that excitement that I have for the Word. For example, you can talk about family, you can talk about sports, you can talk about travel, about business, about the gardening, whatever you might choose to talk about. I had a strange way of finding a way of breaking through that mental barrier that I had, which in this state, there's a lot of retired military people, and they frequently engage in conversations. So I had to find a way to convince my ability to be able to jump into here and become part of the conversation and say, so I see we bought a bunch of tanks, so we got aircraft carriers here and that. So what do you think about that? And now lead the conversation to the Middle East. So what do you think about that? And immediately you get a blank stare. My point is that we have to find a way, if we're going to share the truth, if we're going to not hide our light, to go forward into the world, we have to find a way that is important to the people that are surrounding us, to find a way that's important to them, and take that subject and lead it down a pathway that's going to plant a seed, if you would, to help expand the knowledge of other those around us that have not been blessed to have the blessing of the Word as we have. In the readings today, let's return to verses in chapter 2 of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness in mind, let each esteem another better than themselves. I think we covered that subject in another verse as well. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do nothing for selfish ambition, but humble. Christ was humbled to his death on the cross and received the ultimate persecution. Our key, our goal, is to having the mind of Christ and his commitment to die for what he believed and what is the will of our Father. Verses 9 through 11 in the same chapter 2. Just to highlight, wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, and that the name of Jesus Christ every knee shall bow, and bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, and of things under the earth. Serve Yahweh with fear, with rejoicing, with trembling. Psalms 119, verses 119 through 20, we are told, thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for the fear of thee. I am afraid of thy judgments. Again, we have this use of the word of trembling and fear. In Psalms 2:11, we read, serve Yahweh with fear, rejoice with trembling. Returning now to Corinthians. Let's look at Corinthians, this time chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Beginning verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Verses 4 through 7. But in all things, approving yourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings and fastings, by pureness of knowledge and longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. And then going to the next chapter, chapter 1, which refers back to all of which we just read, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting kindness in the fear of God. Working out our salvation is cleansing ourselves regularly. You know, it's been said that we have to be careful what we tolerate. When you do so, you're teaching others how to treat you. Be careful what you tolerate. When you do so, you're teaching others how to treat you, both in our associations, in their conversations, in their actions, whether on the internet or whether in person. A brother that's in this room tonight wrote an article in the Sanctuary Keeper and had some very timely comments about choices. It was last fall. And it says, straight and narrow is the way to enter. It's choices that we make that shape our character and the pathway that we're on. It began way back in the Garden of Eden, two choices: to follow Yahweh's will or to avoid it. It's only through God's mercy that we achieve salvation. We must eliminate bad habits, time-wasted texting, and its subject matter, the pleasures that draw us away. How do we spend the majority of our time? And each of us has that to answer. The friends that we choose and the associates we make. It's said that a con artist has no enemies. Thus, they are a confidence builder to our own ego. We should not be choosing friends just because they're heaping praise upon us. We should be humble, and we should choose wisely. Our occupations, how much time do they overwhelm us? Our time that we should be spending in our spiritual development, in our family. Again, along that same theme, Matthew 7:14 says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few be that find it. We know that no one has told us that the road would be easy, but together it is made easier. You know, just to highlight a few thoughts from a person that was tortured by friends and his own self is Job. If we just read, highlighting a couple of verses from a few chapters, chapter 14 begins, man was born of a woman and is of a few days and full of trouble. Life doesn't start out necessarily easy, and it sometimes becomes more complicated for each of us. It says, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. And we have talked about previously about Paul, you know, you're either committed to God or you're not committed to Yahweh. Verse 10, but man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fall from the sea and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of the sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me from the grave, and thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath was past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time, remember me. And of course, foreshadowing of what Christ went through. Continuing in Job, this time in chapters 37 and 38, we have the Job's commentary there, and now in 37 we highlight the very things that affect all of us throughout the world, then and now, whether it's lightning or whether it's thunder, who created these things, the snow, the frozen water. These are all considered to be wondrous works of our Heavenly Father. And in chapter 38, there are 39 questions that Yahweh challenges Job to. And in the next two chapters, 39 and 40, there's another 20. So there's 59 questions he's being asked. I don't plan on going through all those, but just, you know, it's important to note that, you know, God says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth in verse 4? Verse 7, when the morning stars sang together, what made I the cloud and the garment? And said in verse 11, hitherto shalt thou come and no further. Here shall thy proud waves be stayed. And it continues on, and it's, you know, it's there for our reading, and it's important because this is an individual who at the beginning lost all. His family turned off, his best friends turned off on him, but was multiplied in the last chapter exceedingly. And it was important because he kept Yahweh as foremost, although he felt at times that he was not being treated as he felt he should be treated. And then God brought it to his attention, all the things that he had done. Paul's commentary tonight to this beloved ecclesia in Philippi is a lifelong lesson for us. Like Paul's absence from them, he encourages them to stand fast and work together. Our Lord Jesus Christ is now absent and has also similar expectations of us to work out our salvation. And as Paul says, he's talking to the entire ecclesia to work it out together. The motive for all mankind should be to understand the consequences of our sinful behavior. Proverbs 28:4 says, happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, set your mind on things above. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Psalms 111:10 says, fear the Lord in the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding, have all that they have to do, his commandments, his praise endureth forever. You know, a raincoat protects us from inclement weather. But I believe that if we truly fear and tremble at Yahweh and the guidance that we have been given, it really helps us to weather the storm, and it becomes a different type of coat of protection against the elements, the world in which we live. It helps us fight against the temptations and with the working out of our salvation. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 13 says, put on the whole armor of God against the schemes of evil. Again, another covering. We need to continue to work out together. And like Philippi, this was loved by Paul in his absence. We pray for Christ's mediation for us as we focus on our character, both personal and as an ecclesia. Commitment on our use of time and the choices we make is really a life and death situation. Sharing our understanding and the truth and confidence to the world in which we live is important. In closing, it leads us to a different raiment, which we pray we will all wear, and that's found in familiar words in the book of Revelations, chapter 3. Verse 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Verse 12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of God, the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down not out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. May we all walk that pathway, this pathway together, working out our salvation. Thank you.